بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين وقال تبارك وتعالى فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون صدق الله العظيم. In regards to Salah, after Iman, the most important amal and action is Salah. This is the highest form of Ibadah. Not where we go in the world, whether it be Haramain, Sharifain. They also, Tawaf is very important, Umrah is important. But more than that, we find five times a day is Salah. They also, we have to perform our Salah. Nobody is absolved of performing Salah at any time. In Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention. حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاتِ الْوُسْطَى حَافِظُوا, protect, safeguard, safeguard. We have guards in our shops, businesses, because we have valuable things. So we have to guard it. The alarm systems, etc. Allah ta'ala says that safeguard your salah. Become a guard of this command that I have revealed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Guard it with your life. In the hospital, she's delivering a child. In the last moments, it's salah time, she has to perform a salah still. To the extent, ulama say, a person is drowning, so to say. Middle of the ocean, and is clinging on to a piece of a log or to a piece of wood. Even there to salah is farz upon him. Not that is maaf. He has to perform his salah still. Allah is emphasizing that you are my slave 24/7, you have to guard your salah. This is the most important thing in the life of a Muslim. To show his servitude, submission to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And this is the highest form. There's no excuse, no matter what condition a person may be. He's right in hospital also, absolutely ma'zoor. But he can move his head at least. The minimum he can do is move his head, salah is still farz upon him. If he can't move his head at all, then for that amount of time, salah will not become farz upon him. There are masail now, for how long? Does his condition remain like that? If his condition is more than 6 namazes, that he can't move his head, then we will say those namazes, there's no qaza for him. He's overlooked. But after 3-4 salahs, that now he can move his head, then salah will become farz, the qaza also will become farz upon him. In that condition also, no excuse. A person has no excuse whatsoever that I was busy or with the family. And Al-Mashami Rahmatullah Ali in his fatwa kitab says, for men salah in the masjid behind the imam is wajib. Some fuqaha, Hanafi fuqaha, and jurists say that if a person has no valid shari'i excuse, and he performs his salah on his own individually, according to them, they say the salah is not even counted, not valid. Not valid, according to some fuqaha, some ulama. Other ulama say, khair, it is acceptable, but he won't get the full reward. He didn't get the full profit, he's running at a loss. Is running at a loss. Nobody was around at a loss. So emphasizing that our entire existence and life, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah says, I made jinn and insan, humankind, only for my ibadat. And if this ibadat comes right, ulama explain, your entire life will come right. Your salah is correct, and your postures in salah are correct also. How you control your eyes in salah, how you stand in salah, how you focus yourself in salah. So if the entire salah is correct, this will spill over into your individual and private and public life also. Automatically your life will be correct. Your decisions will be correct. How you carry your life out will be correct also. Now all these things in our life is adverse and contrary, going against us because the salah is not right. The salah is correct, everything will fall into place. So Allah gives the command. It's not a request. Hafizu, safeguard, protect. Hafizu ala salawati. All your salawat, all your namazes, protect them, safeguard them. Wassalatil wusta, and more specifically, the middle salah. Here, Mufassirin say it refers to the asar namaz. Because at that time, a person is busy. So make sure you don't miss your asar salah. Man salal al-bardain, dakhal al-jannah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that person who performs his fajr salah, the two cool namazes refer to the Fajr Salah and the Asr Salah. It's about cool in that time. That person who's particular about these two namazes, Dakhal al-Jannah, is guaranteed entry into Jannah. Other namazes he'll perform, but these two he's weak in it. The Fajr and the Asr. These two you'll get it right, the rest will be right also. Person is guaranteed Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands that Hafiz will protect your Salah. This protection of Salah, Mufassirin explained, include protecting the correct time of namaz, injunctions of Salah, the faraiz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat, is all included in here. Not just performing Salah. All the other ahkam and laws of Sharia you will find. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that wa'atu zakah, discharge your zakah. Perform your hajj. Keep your fast in the month of Ramadan. But when it comes to Salah, Allah does not say fasallu, they perform Salah. Allah says aqimis Salah. Aqimis Salah. Aqimis Salah. Aqama yuqimu means to establish something. To make it firm. So aqimis Salah, Allah demands in Quran Sharif that you must establish Salah. Not perform it. Perform, you have to. But how to perform it with iqama? With establishing it. Firm, absolutely firm. What does it mean, iqamatu salah? That you got to know all the faraiz of salah, the preconditions, which you call the shurut. Preconditions of salah have to be 100%. Starting from my ghusl. Ghusl has to be absolutely correct. How I make my ghusl and ghusl according to sunnah. That is acceptable. This is very, very important point. We always reiterate, emphasize that any amal we do in sharia has to be done according to the sunnah. Is that according to sunnah? Then it's according to something else which is not acceptable. So if a person makes his ghusl, has to be according to sunnah. And the sunnah, the ghusl, we know original, is a bucket bath. We do it from the bucket. That has to be done sitting also. So the sunnah, the ghusl, is sitting down, not standing. Standing is the Western culture, where there's no haya, no modesty, especially for our wives and our daughters. The sunnah tariqah is to be sitting. But we know the culture out there right now is absolutely against this. So we as fathers have to take charge of it and implement the sunnah in our homes. If we have the shower heads, we can change them. We have the hose, we can connect and put the stand on the wall, and we can sit down, have a bath, have a seat in the shower where we can sit and train our children. This is the sunnah tariqah. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they used to have a ghusl, is to cringe. They used to close themselves because they used to feel haya min Allah. They used to feel modest and they used to have the shame that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all watching, all looking. Even in the privacy also. Privacy of their bedrooms and their bathrooms also. There they felt the shame also. My Allah is, they were so conscious of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even at that time, they would only unclothe themselves just before they went into the bathroom. So for a mu'min, this ghusl, this shower concept, there's no shower in Sharia. We take a ghusl, we take a bath. So first of all is to sit down. And then the amount of water we use also. So the sunnat ghusl, this is very important. We make the ghusl, then we'll find the effect of that in everything else. If we do everything correctly, and our Shaykh Abdul Hamisab Nawarkatu explains also, when it comes to our food, we know how to make it properly because we want the flavor in there. Person who says, have a pot of biryani, doesn't make it haphazardly. He knows there's a certain way how to make it. It's not the time to talk about biryani, but just as an example now. You won't find a person says, I want to have a nice meal for today, a lunch. And he says, biryani, I've seen now what comes in a pot of biryani. There's aloo there, there's potato there, there's ghost, there's meat, there's masoor, Durban biryani. There's the rice and the rest of it. So he says now, he tells the helper, that bring me 5 pots. I'm making biryani. Subhanallah. When the wife makes it, it's 1 or 2 pots. You want 5 pots. Yes, one for the potatoes, one for the meat, one for the rice, one for the masoor. He says, you don't make biryani like that. No, but this is how I want to make it. We know nobody will eat that biryani. There's certain way how to layer it, and then how to steam it, at what temperature. Then we get the full flavor. Because there's a tartib behind it. So the tartib from the beginning to the end is correct, then even the scent and the fragrance of it, subhanallah, will make a person thirsty, make him hungry. The water will come into his mouth. So he'll enjoy the end result. When it comes to salah, also from the beginning has to be according to sunnah. Then the salah will be a real salah. From the ghusl now, ghusl is correct. How we enter the bathroom, the du'as before that, because our bathrooms and toilets are together, before we remove the clothing, already the sunnah du'a. Sunnah du'a to remove clothing is Bismillah. So we recite Bismillah before we remove our clothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two barriers against the tricks of shaitan. One is our physical clothing. When we put on the clothing, shaitan cannot see our private areas. So he can't interfere with us. But when we remove our clothing, now he's able to view us. And then Hadith Sharif says also a person goes into the toilet, doesn't read the dua. Then وَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَلْعَبُ بِمَقْعَدِهِ Shaitan plays with his posterior, causes wasawis and whisperings. He didn't read dua. The shaitan is reading there. When a person is unclothed, then he brings all the wasawis and the shaitani thoughts. And the more a person views and looks at his private area, his own, the more his lust and his desires will increase. That's why we encourage to remain clothed as much as possible. We have to unclothe very quickly. Putting on the clothing, sit down at the edge of the bed and put on a person's clothing quickly. So when we are unclothing, when we are removing our clothes, Bismillah. So when we have the clothes on, then we can't see it. When we remove our clothing with Bismillah, then Allah Ta'ala puts a barrier. Then we are protected. Before entering the toilet, they also, the sunnah dua, the complete sunnah dua, Bismillahi. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'is. It's Bismillah before it also. So by reading Bismillah, we're removing our lower garment, but shaitan cannot view. So he can't create any type of whisperings within our lives. Or we'll have whisperings will come, and the first attack will come on the wuzu. The wuzu is not right. You have wind problem, gas problem, and the person now is making ghusl in the wuzu khana. He's washing, and he's washing, and he's washing. Doesn't feel the wuzu is done. All wasawis. So it's to be so particular. So the ghusl has to be correct. We sit down, and first we make complete wudu. As we make wudu for salah, this is the sunnah tariqah to make the ghusl. As we make wudu for salah with the miswak and everything. So miswak we should have in the bathroom, in the wuzu khana, in our pockets, wherever we can. The miswak is the most important thing in our ghusl, in our wudu. Person makes wudu with miswak, then the salah is multiplied by 70. Person perform wudu with miswak and he reads zuhur salah is as if he reads zuhur salah 70 times. Allah gives him the reward. So they also now we're making the full wudu. Thereafter, there are different tartib. One tartib is first you wash your right hand side complete from top to bottom. Then the left hand side, then pour the water over the head. Then a person rubs the entire body and makes sure not a single strand of hair is left dry. So, yeah, much detail now to ensure within the nose the water goes right to the top. Person gargles, then the water must reach the throat. Then behind the ears, behind the knees, water must reach over there. The armpits, the upper arm, these are areas now that usually remain dry. And wash the feet last before he exits the ghusl khana. So the ghusl according to sunnah tariqah, that is number one. That is number one. Then we're making wudu, and the wudu also according to sunnah. Before making wudu, there are duas to be read. Bismillah walhamdulillahi ala deen in Islam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min hamazati shayateen wa a'udhu bika rabbi ay yahdurun. Or it is Bismillah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says a person who makes wudu and before wudu he reads Bismillah, and as long as his wudu remains, the malaika write good deeds for him. Free of charge. Now you put them on duty to write for your good deeds. Just because you have wudu. So before wudu we read Bismillah, washing the hands until the wrist, and the right hand wash 3 times, then the left hand. So the right hand wash it 3 times, then you wash the left hand 3 times. Not together. Wash the right hand 3 times, and then the left hand 3 times. Till the wrists. Then we gargle them out. This gargling also complete with the mustahabbat. How to gargle. Usually what we do, we just flush them out. We throw water in the mouth and we spit it out. But to gargle, if you're fasting, then you don't gargle. So the gargling sound, the gurgling sound has to be there for the correct, complete sunnah to be adhered to. So a person makes his miswak, then he gargles his mouth. Then when it comes to the nose, istinshaq, istinthar, is 2 words used in the riwayat. That a person throws water into the nose, that's the first part of it. The second part is to blow the nose. Today we know how we are rushing, we just throw water into the nose, that's it. We don't blow the nose, we don't clean the nose out. So one is to throw water into the nose and then to blow the nose out completely, to clean the nose with the left hand, little finger. To use the right hand is makruh, is disliked. So you use the left hand and the little finger to clean the nose. Then washing of the face 3 times. From member to sha'ari, from where the hair begins to grow. Person says, I am bald, I don't have hair anymore. The way it was growing from originally. From there now he will start washing till below the chin. From ear lobe to ear lobe. this be particular. Many of us have beards now, so we just wash the beard. But the part now between the beard and the earlobe is left dry. But the wudu is incomplete. Also very important, many a person we find making wudu, he just wets the hand and wipes it over his face, wudu is not done. That's called masah, he made masah of his face. They call it masah of the head. So there are two words used in the kitab, one is al-ghaslu al-mas'u. Al-ghaslu to wash. Wash means now the water must flow off the limb. Where you cup the water, you take water in your hand, and you won't splash it now, but the water is put onto the face till it drips. That's ghaslu. The only time you make mas'u is you take a wet hand and wipe it, will be upon your head, after you wash your hand. That's masah. That is masah. So when it comes to the remaining part, there has to be al-ghaslu, you have to wash it, till the water drips. So just now, wetting their hands, rubbing over your elbows, rubbing over your hand, just a wet hand, that wuzu is not complete. To just take water in the hands now, rub it over the face, the wuzu will not be completed, will not be correct. So a person has to take water and he has to pour it over the face, from the top to the bottom, from earlobe to earlobe, 3 times. To make sure now even within the eyes, the eye wells, there also the water goes to there, around the nose, there also the water goes there. Person's beard is sparse, you can see the skin. You can see the skin, and the water has to penetrate and reach to the skin. If it's thick, they're not necessary. But those areas that are sparse, where you can see it through, then the water has to reach. Even the moustache beyond that also. So we don't keep very thick moustaches. Here also the moustache is too thick and it goes over the upper lip, that's makruh. So the A grade, ulama explained, the A grade of moustache is where it's completely removed. Where the whiteness is absolutely visible. The second grade, where a person keeps a little moustache and you can see through it, still see the skin of it. The third grade, the last, which is now the grade for the mujahideen in the path of Allah. Because they are facing now the enemies to strike awe in their hearts. They keep thick moustaches, the mujahideen. Here, alhamdulillah, there's no jihad within the homes. So the Hakim Sahib will say, rahmatullah alayh, that at least now look neat for the wife and look attractive for her. And keep a landing pad on your cheeks also for her. Landing pad so she can give you a kiss before you leave home. So keep the cheeks clean also, and also the moustache area. That is the best A grade. That is the best. So to make sure the water reaches right through. So when we have the baby beard also just below the lower lip, there also water has to reach there. We find it's passed. You can see the skin. So to make sure we rub there, water must reach over there also. So you wash 3 times. After you wash 3 times, then you can rub now. Water is there already. So the water on the face, you can rub it through properly. Doesn't mean now you're going to wash 5 times or 6 times or 7 times. After 3 times, you can rub it properly. Even after you finish your wudu, as you're going to wipe yourself, and not wiping also is sunnah. Then at that time, you can rub it properly right through, from earlobe to earlobe. Make sure water reaches right through. Then to the wudu will be correct. Because the water that is still on the limbs is correct now. It will be valid to take that water and rub it on the limb to make sure it reaches everywhere. Wudu will be correct. So to wash the face. Not to make the eyes so tight, the water doesn't reach the finer areas around the eye. To make the lips so tight, water doesn't reach also the lips. So to make sure the water reaches the complete face. Then to wash the hands, including the elbows for the Hanafis. Including the elbows for the Hanafis 3 times. Correct ways to cup the water, not to put the hand under the tap. The correct sunnah tariqah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to make wudu from the mud. We find muds now in our wudu areas. The little utensil, like a jar it is. So from there, so it should be poured into the right hand, and then it should be poured over the hand from the fingers going down towards the elbow. Then you just rub it. You'll find now not much water comes there in the mud. It might only reach half the hand. So whatever water is left on the limb, that water can be rubbed. So you rub it over properly. Wuzu is done. The water that leaves the limb, that you can't take it back and put it into the limb. That's regarded as al-ma'ul musta'mal, used water. Because the water cannot be used. So what's on the limb, that you'll rub it. Then the second time you'll wash again. So you making wuzu now, and our Shaykh Ibn Hamid Sahib says, we can gauge, plug your basin at home, plug it, and make wuzu and see how much water we use. For one wuzu. How much water? But it's not the demand of Sharia. Use minimum. That mud we find over there is less than a liter. Less than 1 liter to make a complete wuzu. So we can Now we are so used to soaking our bodies that the face must feel soaked and the limbs must feel soaked to the water, otherwise I don't feel ripe, as if my wuzu is not done. We gotta make ourselves feel that my wuzu is correct according to sunnah. We don't go beyond that. We gotta convince ourselves my wuzu is done. Walk away. There's no need to wash more than this now. So we have got to get used to this now. Otherwise we're so used to putting our hands under, putting our faces under the tap, and soaking ourselves completely. This is way beyond the sunnah now. This is way beyond it. So the right hand and then the left hand. So as I mentioned now, we cup the water under the tap. We can close it also. We can close it and then make sure we rub it properly. Also too, if you're making wuzu in the masjid now, don't take so long. People are waiting to use the wuzu khana. Wuzu is quick. Within 2 minutes, person can be finished with his wudu. Right hand, left hand. Wash both the hands. After you wash both the hands, take note, my dear brothers. After you wash both the hands, now we make khilal of the fingers. Khilal of the fingers is a completion of washing of both the hands, not after masah of the head. We are so habitual now, we'll find that after we hear it, we'll make wuzu for asar, and still the same old way that we learnt. Oh, we became habitual of. So we got to register now and become mindful of it. Khilal of the beard also. After we finish wash the face 3 times, then you just cup some water in your hand, you throw it on your beard at the bottom, and you take your fingers and from behind, you just make khilal of the beard in this way. As you can see me doing it. You make khilal of the beard, that is sufficient. You don't have to soak the beard. This now which is hanging off, mustarasal min ash-sha'r, it's hanging off the face. That doesn't have to be soaked completely. Whatever hair is on the face, that will be wet completely. What's attached to the face. What's beyond that, there's no need to. That you just make khilal of it. So when it comes to washing of the hands, you wash both the hands and then you make khilal. The method of khilal, there's 2 ways mentioned in the kitabs. One is you make khilal of the right hand. As you take your left hand, both the hands are wet. You take the left hand and you intertwine them, so to say, in this manner. First is the right hand. So make sure water reaches now between the fingers. And then you do the left. That's one way, or it can be done in this way. Palms meet palms. So the right hand, khilal is done, and then the left hand. Then you make masah of the head. Put the hand under the tap, and then a person wets the hand, and then he runs it over his head completely. Coat of the head is faras, complete head is sunnat. So the entire head from the front, as you can see me now, the little finger, little fingers are in line from where the hair begins to grow. From there you start. The tariqah method ulama explain, we use these 3 fingers over here. The last 3 fingers from the little finger, going to your middle finger. These 3 I use, so you will run it over the head completely till the back. The palms are still wet, then you pull this front. So what's left now is your index finger, sababa, the kalima fingers, and your thumbs are still wet. So this now you'll make khilal of your ears. You make the khilal of the ears, behind the ears, and the back of the palm now is still wet, you'll make masah of the nape. The right hand side first, and then the left hand side, not together. First is the right hand side, and then the left hand side. So take note now, we'll be making wuzu the next. To get the full effect of the salah, safeguarding the salah. Now we safeguarded. And here Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahimullah would explain, if you want to become thrifty in your life, be thrifty at the time of ghusl and wudu. Use water sparingly. If you waste water during ghusl and wudu, then your entire life will be extravagance and wastage. It starts from here. Now you know when it comes to our bathing and our children, how long we sit in the bathroom, how much water is wasted. How much water is? North Africa, they are crying for just water wells or boreholes. They don't have water. So here now, we find the shouting in the house, who finished the hot water? One child finishes the geyser completely. We got to put some restrictions upon them now. We're giving you 5 minutes, we're giving you 3 minutes. Bathing is quick. We're going to make the ghusl, take the bath and we're out. So we are thrifty now when it comes to our ghusl and bathing and our wudu. There we're conscious of how much we are using, and more when it comes to the masjid. Somebody is paying for the water. So make a habit of putting something in the lila box also. Because I'm using the water. Is that for free? Somebody is paying for it. We shouldn't have this nature now. I use for free everything. But give something back to the masjid for the expenses. So, and it should not be that I'm bringing my nabaligh son. Salah is a farz upon him. Yes, we bring them to the masjid. But I'm training him to make wuzu now with the masjid water. Train him at home. Not in the masjid. He's taking a seat, people are waiting. And now you're teaching him how to make wuzu. Say, mashallah, so cute, he's making wuzu. He must do it at home. Not over here in the masjid now. People are waiting. People are paying for the water. Then I can do it at home. Train him at home how to make wudu. Yes, when he's the age of 10 years old. Now salah, he should be punctual upon salah. There's some leeway. But before that, he must do it at home now. So when we're making a wuzu, so we make masa of the head thereafter. So khilal of the fingers after washing both the hands. Then it comes to masa of the head, how to make masa. Thereafter we'll wash the feet. The right foot 3 times. Then the left foot. Making khilal of the toes also, will make khilal of the toes with the left hand, little finger. Using the right hand is makruh. Khilal of the toes means now that we run the finger, little finger between the toes. From the little toe of the right foot. From that way we will start. So that can be done now after you wash the right foot. You wash the right foot, then you make khilal after washing the foot. Then you wash the left foot 3 times, including the ankles. After you wash the left foot, then you make khilal. From the big toe, going to the small toe there. Or the second way will be after you wash both the feet, now you make khilal of all 10 toes. From the right foot, little toe, and you end up on the left foot, the little toe. That is how you make the khilal. In between, you'll make your du'as also. Allahumma aghfir li dhanbi, wa wasi'li fi dari, wa barik li fi rizqi. We have du'as there, mashallah, that are on the walls. We can read these du'as. Very powerful, effective du'as. Allahumma aghfir li dhanbi, Allah forgive all my sins. Allah will forgive it. The sins are all attached to the body. It will drop off into the flowing water. And it comes in the Hadith Sharif. A person makes ispaghul wudu. He makes a proper wudu. The sins that he made with his eyes fall off the eyes. The sins that he made with his tongue, Allah Ta'ala removes them. The sins with the hands, from under the nails, the sins come out to the barakat of wudu. So we are conscious when you're making wudu, that Ya Allah, give me the fadail and virtues of all these amal and this wuzu that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed for us. After that we make our dua. So Allahumma aghfir li dhanbi wa wasi' li fidari, Ya Allah, extend my home. So barakat of this dua, Allah Ta'ala will grant you a big house in this world also. Barakat of this dua. Wa wasi' li fidari. We have the niyat, Ya Allah, give me a big home, big enough to, sufficient enough for my family to be happy in there. Then enough to host the friends of Allah. Jamaats are coming also. To host the extended family. All this now is spiritual zakat of the house. Spiritual zakat of the house to host guests in the house. Set mind, Allah has given me this to host your friends and my family. Then Allah Ta'ala will give you a palace in Jannah also. وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي رِزْقِي. Allah give me barakat in my rozi, my sustenance. This dua is sunnat during wudu. After wudu we finished, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. The 8 gates of Jannah are open for him. 8 gates of Jannah are open for him. And we are making wuzu outside, we can look at the sky, it becomes a riwayat also, you can raise your kalima finger. And read, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Then dua to be read, اللهم اجعلني من التوابين وجعلني من المتطهرين. Thereafter, to wipe, not to wipe, both are sunnat. Ulama encourage us that in summer months, no need to wipe. Just rub your limbs, rub your face, get the water out. Nabi alayhi salatu salam, more than often used to leave his limbs wet. In winter months, yes, we can wipe it. We can wipe. But more than often, we can leave it and get used to it also. We don't have to wipe, then don't wipe it. And very quickly, the limbs will dry. So there's no need for the masajid now to have too many towels and face towels, etc. So this is a complete sunnah wudu, more or less. Then we come to the salah finally now. So when it comes to salah, here we say protect the salah, protect it to all the times, injunctions, the wajibat, mustahabbat, faraiz of salah. This is iqamatus salah. Now we'll get the full benefit. The first benefit of salah, Quran says, inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Salah will prevent you. Salah will stop you from fahsha, from shameful acts. Salah will do it. Your salah is correct. You have bad habits in your life. You can't control your eyes, your passions. Your love for dunya is dominating everything in your life. Salah will pull you away from it. How it will pull you? You're coming for salah. Already shows I'm cutting my time of dunya. I'm cutting my time from dunya. And when my salah is correct, then my salah will become longer and longer. And less time will be given to dunya now. Salah will pull you away. Because this is a real namaz now. So salah tanha will prevent and stop a person from fahsha. Immodest acts. Wal munkar and evil actions. Vulgarity. Bad akhlaq. Improper behavior, rude rage. His salah will pull him. You won't need therapy to go to psychologist, something wrong with my brain, something wrong with my mind. Your salah is correct. Check your namaz first. If you mukallaf enough and you understand you have to perform salah, the salah will put everything right. Put your thinking right, will put your amal right, will put your character right, your anger control, everything will come in namaz. Because salah for that 5 minutes, I'm controlling my anger. Or just practice for me now out of salah to control it. In salah I'm not vulgar. So it shows for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I can control my tongue. That will spill over into my every minute of my life. My salah is correct. Because in salah we know we can't eat, we can't drink, we can't walk around, we can't look around. Like we are fasting in namaz. We're confined. But there's already practice out of namaz how to be. So the salah is correct with all the wajibat, all the mustahabbat, all the sunnats. Then this will be my life out of namaz also. I can do it there. Allah will give you the strength of the heart. You can do it out of salah. So from here we understand that in a believer's life, salah is everything. If my salah is correct, the water I'm using also, and the clothes I'm wearing also, is all halal means, from halal sources. Very important. يَا أَيُّهُ الْمُدَّثِّرُ قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is commanded, make sure وَيَثِيَابَكَ, your clothes, purify and clean it. Physically is clean, literally is clean, and also spiritually, whatever rosy halal sustenance you're buying, clothes will halal income. So their clothes is correct also, and the attire is correct. According to sunnah, then I'll get the full benefit. We know when you go to functions now how to dress. But unfortunately when it comes to salah before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the court of Allah, there now we are a bit loose. How to dress, especially on Sunday Zuhur, we find our sheikhs, if people come for Zuhur, Sunday salah like they're going to the park. You're coming to the court of Allah with jammies, short sleeve. You are coming in the court of Allah, the King of all kings. If Mr. President invited you, you won't go with your jammies. It's not the way to dress when you're going to the presidential home. This is not the president, this is Malikul Muluk. This is the King of all kings. Allah has invited you, a royal invitation for you. Now I come with no topi on. Whereas there are almost 200 or 150, 200 narrations in regards to the headgear and topi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many riwayat. Just on the topi and the headgear of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, now the ummah, there's no topi. That's the crown of a believer. We don't like to say it, but the Jews are so particular about it. They are so particular about the skull cap. They'll wear it. And they're proud about it, that we are Orthodox Jews. But the Muslim wants to emulate others besides his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was so particular that when he used to go to the toilet, he used to ensure that his head was covered. There's a whole hadith about it. When he used to go to the toilet, he used to make sure his head was covered. Our masturat at home, ensure the head is covered also. We cover our head, just to the toilet. You can imagine now when you come to the masjid, the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This culture right now, of being bareheaded for salah, this is not the Islamic way of performing salah. There's some modesty, how to dress before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. At least, if you are working also, carry the kurta in the car. So when I come into the house of Allah, I'm dressed correctly, my attire is correct, then I'll get the full benefit of that salah. So one is the headgear. Yes, they are the Salafi movement right now, the modernist movement, that you don't have to wear topi, you don't have to wear a headgear when you come for salah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tell sahaba ikram that oppose the mushrikeen when you're wearing your imama. The mushrikeen, they, in that time, they used to wear the imama and turban without a headgear, without the topi, to be bareheaded. He says, oppose them. Wear your imama upon your hats. Wear a hat and your imama and your turban. So keep the head covered all the time. Wala Masihullah Khan sahab rahmatullahi, one of the great awliya of Allah. Much incidents mentioned about him among the Abdals of the time. Say when he was in Sakarat and his head was dipping every time, he says before his topi could fall off, he would hold his topi. I can't leave this world without wearing my topi also. So particular, so much of shame, modesty he had of keeping the hat on. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and in Kitab is mentioned also that in Salah, the topi has to come out, how to put it back on. And the whole, as I mentioned, almost 200 narrations. There's a whole kitab written, The Crown of a Believer. The Mufti Hussain Kadodia, buy a copy of the kitab, is online also, The Crown of a Believer. And you'll find all the different types of hats Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had. The cotton one, a topi during summer, a hat, burnus, which was attached to his clothing for winter months, which was warm, a warm hat. Then a topi hat was safar, which was very high hat. the Sahaba-e-Ikram could see from a distance. Then he had that high hat also used to use as a sutra, performing salah in the open area. So he was to have a topi which is put in front of him as a barrier, so people could walk in front of him. So all these riwayat are there. The type of topis and the type of headgear Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam used to wear. Ma Malik Rahmatullah, Malik bin Anas, was the Imam of Madinatul Munawwara, born in the year 94 Hijri. 94. Ma Abu Hanifa was born 80, he was born 94. Ma Malik Rahmatullah Ali, when he passed away, he's mentioned he left behind almost 200 turbans. Now who knew better? Who knew better? The Imam of, he was called Imam Dar al-Hijra, the Imam of the place of Hijra, Madina Munawwara. He wrote the Kitab Mu'atta Imam Malik, so close to the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And in his time and period, there was no need to ask, what's your dalil? Who's your narrator? Is he authentic or not? That was called Dawrul I'timadi, a period of time where there was absolute trust, there was no fabrications in the ahadith and riwayat. He left behind so many turbans. Obviously, those turbans and topis with them also. So it shows you that this is an emphasized Amal of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, always had a headgear. And together with this, ulama say, don't make the topi now a cult. Don't make the topi a certain cult. That this topi belongs to this type of khanqa or tasawuf or tabligh. Topi is a topi, no matter who wears it and how he wears it. Inshallah, he'll fulfill the sunnah. Doesn't become a cult now. This belongs to a certain type of group of people. They all belong to the ummah. Whether it's like a Khankai type topi or a 5-piece or a 6-piece or a 3-piece, whatever people have nowadays. It's a topi after all. It doesn't belong to any cult. There's no cult in Islam. Our cult is the sunnah. We follow the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So all are correct, inshallah. Whichever way we wear them. So when it comes to salam, moreover, we have to wear the topi. So keep it on our heads, inshallah. And how to dress, to have clothes that where the elbows are exposed, the salah is makruh. Without the topi, the salah is makruh. Elbows are exposed, we have this short sleeve kurta. That also, the salah is makruh. The elbow should be covered. Person has long sleeve and he just folds him haphazardly, like this. That's also makruh. If it's folded properly, neatly, then it's fine. But it's folded beyond the elbows, that too is makruh. And very, very important, the garb has to be above the ankles. It has to be above the ankles, or the salah is absolutely makruh. And anything that hangs below the ankles, hadith of Bukhari, Sharifa fin nar, it will be in the fire of Jahannam. Anything below the ankles. Tilka hududullah fala taqrabuha. Quran says these are the limits of Allah. Don't live on the edge. Don't come near the limits. The person's kurta should be so high above the ankle that from a distance you have no doubt. His ankle is clear. Absolutely clear. And the sunnah tariqa is nisfu saq. The pants of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his upper garment is to be halfway his shin. Now we are so accustomed wearing it below that. There is leeway, that's the leeway part of it. That even the masturat asked Nabi alayhi salatu, the sahabiyat asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how long should be the garment of the women? So Nabi alayhi salatu told them, it should be out till the ankles or lower than the ankles. And for the men should be above that. Specifically mentioned, for the women should be the ankles, covering the ankles a little lower than that. Showing you that these are for the women till the ankle or below it. The men is not till the ankle, is above the ankle. Otherwise it's a woman's garb. Woman's garb is different and men's garb is different. The design too is different. Ulama explain when it comes to the men's garb also, we have for the women a kurti. Kurti is just 2 pieces of cloth stitched together in the sides. For the men, the men's garb is you have the panel on the side. It's different from the woman's garb. We have the extra panel. There's a difference between a woman's garb and a men's garb. But this comes to the clothing when it comes to salah, to ensure. And here also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wore a garment one time and he has some designs on it. Has some designs on it and after salah he removed it. He says this type of garb, this bright color or designs on it, almost destroyed my salah. Almost destroyed my salah and he removed it. So we can understand from there also, when it comes to the sunnat garb, is one color. Simple and straightforward. There's no calligraphy, there's no writing on it, no different shades and colors. Should not be that now our sunnat garb becomes a fashion. That now we're borrowing outside fashion and tweaking, so to say now, the sunnah. The sunnah, we love it as is, simple, straightforward. As Nabi alayhi salatu salam wore it. We don't need outside influence. It is absolutely plain, straightforward, the garb of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. So there's much detail in the men's garb and the women's garb to make sure that they are covered completely also. Now to come quickly to the salah now. So when a person stands up for salah, in our masajid, alhamdulillah, we have the lines. The lines are for the ankles to go on, the heels to go onto it. Other countries, we find they put the toes. If we are in those countries, then we'll follow them. But if we're going to put our heels on the line, their toes will be on the line and the surf will be broken. It's very, very important that the lines have to be absolutely straight. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu used to appoint, or himself used to go with his sword to ensure that the lines are absolutely straight. Oh, فَتَخْتَلِفَ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Ulama explained the ikhtilaf and the difference of opinion in the ummah right now, where we have all these differences, etc., starts from the masjid, because the lines are not straight. The lines are not straight, so the hearts will differ. There will be a break in the hearts, the connection will break. It all starts from the salah. Everything starts from salah, as you can see. To be thrifty, extravagant starts from namaz and wuzu. When there's difference in the ummah, is because the surfs and the rows are not straight. So the rows have to be straight. Possibly our country, because we have lines. Other countries we go, we find, they don't worry much about it. The gaps in the sufuf, in the rows, and they're not standing straight also. They don't think much about it. But we should be very particular. Tarawih time we're having a problem also, where there's big gaps left in the masajid in the back. People want to take to the sides only. We have to join. If we're going to break the surfs, then the hearts will also be broken. They won't be connected. So in a straight line we will stand, number one. And also here the ulama explained that the shoulders touch. Not there's a gap in between. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he was stabbed by Fairuz, the fire worshipper, just to get through the surfs to break away, he stabbed almost 13 sahaba radiallahu anhum, because the surf was so tight, he couldn't get through. Ours is so loose, anybody can push us. So as far as possible, the shoulders have to touch also. And the feet will be facing towards the Qibla. This is very important. The feet facing towards the Qibla, all the limbs in Salah is mustahab to the best of our ability, that the limbs face towards the Qibla. That's our markaz. That's our headquarters of Noor. The Noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon the Kaaba Sharif. And the Kaaba Sharif is distributed to all the daughters of the Kaaba Sharif, all the masajid. Noor comes upon the Imam's Musalla, then the person behind him. Remember also in the masjid now, there's no specified place for the muazzin. That's why we find there's no musalla for the muazzin. There's no musalla for the muazzin in the masjid. There's only musalla for the imam. So, the muazzin, wherever he gets a place, he can give the iqama from there. Is that a problem? But sometimes we do keep it for the muazzin for logistics. To take care of the mic system, attend to the imam, sahab, whatever it may be. So, when we stand in the surf, we face the qibla, and the feet also facing towards the qibla. Now, maybe our natural stance is not like that. The feet go, like one person told me, you find many people standing in Salah, their one foot is facing towards Istanbul, and one foot towards Karachi. He says, you missed the Qibla. You missed the Qibla, you didn't get the Qibla. So a little bit mujahada qurbani. This is Salah is an exercise to restrain yourself, to fulfill the command of Allah. If I'm going to do it in namaz, out of Salah, I'll have the strength also. So the person stands with the feet facing towards the Qibla, four fingers apart. This is aqrab ila al-khushu', mustahab, for it to be four fingers apart. To be too much apart, this is not correct also. Person should try to the best of his ability, that is four fingers apart facing towards the Qibla. Here our Shaykh explains also, we know this masla very well. Some banks, you go to the banks, they have a cubicle for security. The guard will open it, you got to stand inside, then they have a little drawing there of your 2 feet. And then your hand there, you got to place it onto the door. So if you don't stand correctly there and put your hand on the door, it won't open up. They tell you stand properly. So you got to stand properly, place your feet there, put your hand on the door, then the green light will come on. So they will do it. Then the door will open. For the door of Allah's mercy and treasures also, there's a way to stand to open the doors. Allah wants to see you in attention. We know the soldiers now, how they're trained to stand in attention. And for long they stand like that now. They don't even move. They are trained. And Allah loves to see the sufuf of the Muslims like Mujahideen. Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam was safati safa, qasam on the rows of the malaika, the Mujahideen, and the musallis in the perform the salah, how they stand in attention before Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The curtain is about to be raised right now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the curtain. Now you take how much you want, as long as you're standing correctly, and how I want you to be dressed also, now you qualify to take as much as you want to. So facing towards the Qibla, the feet facing towards the Qibla, four fingers apart facing the Qibla, person will stand upright, absolutely straight, the head not tilted, for the head to tilt is makruh also. The head will be straight, just the eyes focused on the place of sajda. That is where you'll focus the eyes. Not straight also, but where you'll make your sajda. Then you raise the hands. Raising the hands doesn't have to be now the elbows are sticking out. Somebody next to you, he might get hurt. So all you got to do, the hands are straight down, you just lift them up. Lift them up, and as you can see, the thumbs, the tip of the thumbs are in line with the earlobes. That is sufficient. You don't have to touch the earlobes. If you touch it, very good. But what happens when you touch it, the head comes front. So long as it's in line, your hands can be in front, and not over here also. There are different riwayat. The Shafi'i mazhab, they have their palms, they have their hands in line with their shoulders. For the Hanafi, we have our palms in line with the shoulders and the fingers in line with the earlobes. We have many riwayat and ahadith put together, we get the reward of all those ahadith. So we join them all up together. So person just raise his hands. He can tuck in his elbows to make it easier for himself. And just in line with the earlobes. So he makes Allah, and the fingers naturally apart. Not spread out, not closed. Facing towards the Qibla, you're connecting to Kaaba Sharif right now. You're pulling all the nur from the Kaaba Sharif. So you are connecting, not facing inside or facing too much outside, but facing towards the Kaaba Sharif. Looking down at the place of sajda, you will raise his hands. From here you will make takbir. From here you say, Allahu Akbar. Not after, you can after thank the hands, but the best, if you join all the riwayats and ahadith, the best will be from here. We start takbir, Allahu Akbar. And very important with the imam also, and we as muqtadis, imam should not pull the Allahu Akbar. If he pulls Allah, and you already make Allahu Akbar before he finishes his Allah, you said Allah before that, your salah hasn't started. So you should be a bit careful. And the imams also shouldn't pull it too long. Because some muqtadis, alhamdulillah, they're very particular takbirah tahreema. So they want to get it. The imam is pulling Allah too much. Or he say, Allahu Akbar, and you already tired. And you made your takbir, your salah hasn't started. So your Allah should be after his Allah, and Akbar also after his Akbar. So Allahu Akbar, the alif has to be absolutely clear. Allahu Akbar. The dara also is full mouth. That Akbar, Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then you'll tie your hands below the navel for Hanafis. So we should see whether really we're doing it correctly. It's not tied on the navel, below the navel. There are riwayats, the Ali's riwayat also. Inna mina sunnah. If among the sunnah is to tie the hands below the navel, tahta surra, below the navel, for the Hanafis. And the right palm on the back of the left hand. This way we'll place it. Not on the wrist area of the forearm. That is incorrect. This is not correct. The correct way, putting all the different riwayat together, ahadith together, is a person now will place his right hand on the back of his left hand. And with the little finger and with the thumb, he'll make a circle. We can try it to see if we're getting it correct. So he'll make a circle. These three fingers over here now will be spread out on his forearm. That's how he will tie it. In this way he will tie below the navel, and his left hand, to be particular, is not just left hanging down, but is tucked in. Everything in salah is at attention. There's a tartib for it. There's nothing haphazard. So person, because the hadith sharif says, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, perform salah as you see me performing salah. How Nabi Ali said, perform the salah, that's how you perform your salah. So below the navel, we'll tuck in the left hand. And we will make the ring around our wrist. And these three fingers are spread out on the forearm. Like this. Feet towards the Qibla. Person facing is focused to the ground where he's making sajda. And not to move in namaz. Not to shake in salah. It's incorrect. Absolutely, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Allah says the believers have gained success already. When they stand in salah, khashi'un, they stand with humility, they are humble. What does it mean? That when it comes to their their heart is focused to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and their bodies are absolutely motionless. Absolutely motionless. They're not playing now with their toes, they're not playing with their hands, they're not playing with their beards also. Sometimes we just make a gesture, unnecessarily. This is all against khushu in salah. A person has attention, and he knows he's standing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then he won't fidget and he won't play. Then he'll tie his hands. If he's behind the imam, or in his own, he read his thana. Thana now is the name of the dua that we read in salah. Although in maktab we learned now, thana subhanakallahumma bihamdik. But the dua starts from subhanakallahumma. The thana is the name of it. Like we don't say surah fatiha alhamdulillah. Surah fatiha is a name. So when we tie our hands and we start, subhanakallahumma bihamdika wa tabaraka asmuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayru. Behind the imam I stop here. There's no a'uzu, there's no bismillah. For the muqtadi behind the imam, there's no qiraat, there's no a'uzu, there's no bismillah. Third and fourth rakat also, there's no qiraat whatsoever. There's no a'uzu, there's no bismillah. Absolutely silent, all four rakats, the muqtadi. The one behind the imam. The imam will do all the Qur'an tilawat, all the recitation. The musalli behind him will not make any tilawat at all. If you're individual on your own, munfarid, then you read subhanakallahumma, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, surah fatiha, wa dhalin, amin. You don't have to say bismillah again for the surah, you can just start the surah. So a person will read his surah thereafter. Finish his qirat, then he'll go into ruku. From the standing position, he'll go down. Allahu Akbar. Go down here in ruku also. The first point over here is that you grasp the knees. Not just in this way, that the palms are left loose, but they are holding the knees. So you grasp it and the fingers are spread apart. It's the only posture in salah now where the fingers are spread apart. So you will grab the knees properly and firmly. The back is straight, leveled out. The head also is level. Mentioned in the riwayat that if you had to put a glass of water in the back of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it will not spill. So completely itminan. Here also, and you won't bend the knees. There's no bending of the knees, like how I got it bent now, like this. This is not correct. That the whole back now is not straight. But the knees are pushed back and you push yourself forward. You can feel the tension now in your entire legs over here. So little you push yourself front, grab the knees, and the back, and the elbows are locked in also. Elbows are locked in. The elbows, is that like this? The elbows are straight, locked in, the back is locked in, and the knees are all locked in. And the person pushes himself a bit forward. He can feel the tension and the strain, and everything is in line. So he will come down. This is the correct way to make the ruku. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, 3 times. According to some ulama, 3 times is wajib. But it's not the fatwa. But we should be conscious of it. At least 3 times, or 5 or 7, minimum is 3 times. And say it properly also, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, with the aid in Allah. Even our Qur'an tilawat, we mentioned this many a times, we read Surah Fatiha so fast. So fast we recite it. One alim says now, the speed you're reading the Arabic, read the translation in English at that speed. And see how it sounds. I can't even say it so fast in English also. But how terrible it will sound if you say it in English at that speed. Because read to Allah Tabarak is a dialogue with Allah. It's not a monologue. Not that only you are speaking. That is why ulama say that is mustahab. Or Surah Fatiha, that we pause after every ayat. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Al-Din. Because every time you say something, Surah Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to you. Hamidani abdi, majidani abdi. My banda, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Allah says, my banda, my slave has praised me. Ar-Rahman, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That my slave now has praised me, has elevated me. And as you read every ayat, Allah ta'ala responds to you. Therefore, this is mustahab for a person to pause after every. This tarawih is different now. For the far salah, our own salah, etc. This is mustahab, preferable. So we read it now with consciousness that we are talking to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Allah is responding to us. So we go into ruku, person grasps the knees, the feet are towards the qibla, and he looks between his feet and on his feet. And here they say you can now imagine that this is my life, that gap in between, that is my lifespan. So short, just now I might leave this world. This is my last salah I'm performing right now.
So the back is still, everything is still, you read your tasbihat, then a person comes up, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ سَمِعَ زَعَيْنَ وَدَى سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ There at the end also there's aha حَمِدَهُ not حَمِدَهُ Is that correct? It's حَمِدَهُ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ So when you stop there, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ You stop there. We are the muqtadis, we are coming up. So as the Imam says, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ As we're coming up, we start already, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ Not after we come up. As we come up already, he's saying تَسْمِعْ, we make تَحْمِيد. تَسْمِعْ means سَمِعَ اللَّهُ and تَحْمِيد is رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ So as he's saying, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ We are coming up, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ Other du'as they are there also. Itminan in salah is wajib. Itminan means to make every posture in such a way your body is absolutely calm. In ruku also, remember, even salah, a person for the entire duration of his qiyam, he's moving all the time. His body hasn't come to rest for one subhanallah, the salah is not accepted. Has to be repeated. He has to be motionless for at least one tasbih. Motionless for at least one tasbih. In every posture. He goes into ruku also. And in ruku also he's moving still. He hasn't come to a standstill. He comes up like this and he's still moving and he goes down again. So he shows in every posture he hasn't come to a standstill in any of the postures. Or even one posture also, he was just in motion. The salah should be repeated. Because, oh, he has to make such a sahu for the salah to be correct. Because itminan in salah is wajib. That every posture you have to be motionless for at least one subhanallah. So this is very, very important now when we come into qawmah. The posture between our ruku and sajda. When we come up in qawmah, we know how fast we go down. If you go to Haramain, other countries, other madahib, they're absolutely calm. Just that we are very, very fast when it comes to qawmah. According to Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, he says qawmah is wajib. Meaning you have to come up properly and stand there. So when you come up, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ then we don't... The actual sunnah is for all the limbs of the body to go back to the original place. So we read the du'as, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ Different du'ayat. You know, add all together, اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ So the person absolutely itminan is God. Then he goes down into sajda. Going down into sajda also, you have to be particular that we go absolutely straight as possible. The only time you bend your body is once the knees touch the ground. To go down in this manner, as you can see me going, like already in ruku, this ulama say can constitute as a second ruku you are making. There's only one ruku in salah. But this can be counted now as a second ruku you're going into and then into sajda. So this salah now is a problem. So it has to be, yes, a person is old because some back problem is different now. For the Hanafis we go, straight down. Shafi'i, other madahib, they go with their hands first. For them, that is sunnah. We have our riwayat, our dalail and proofs. So we go straight down. So from here, a person now, as he comes up, now he'll go with takbir. Allah. So the back is straight as possible. He'll go down. The only time he will tilt the body is once the knees touch the ground. Then there, he'll touch the ground. And the takbir will start from the top. Allahu Akbar. And he will end it once the His forehead or the nose touches the ground. So first the knees, then the hands will go, then the nose and then the forehead. We're going to sajda. Where to place the hands? The hands now should be placed as we had in takbir al-tahrima. As we had the hands over there, where the thumbs were in line, or the earlobes, they in sajda is the same also. Not that now your hands are taking support, the elbows are taking support upon your thighs. That's not correct. Here, very particular, many people's sajda is not correct for a few reasons. One is that now the space between the belly and the knees. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to stretch out his body so much that a little kid, baby goat, if it had to pass through, he could walk, he could pass through. It wasn't closed. For the masturat and ladies, they will now cringe their bodies. They will close it up as much as possible. For the men, we open it, and not too much also. There's sufficient enough, you are comfortable. And your hands are in line. Your thumbs, tip of the thumbs in line with the earlobes. Not too much back, not too much front also. Elbows above the ground, not touching, not flat on the ground. That's makruh. And the body is opened up.
Now this also another point comes in. If a person closes himself, like how the ladies do so, then you will find that there'll be a big space between his knees. It'll be opened. So you'll have to make a sajda like this. And others in the back can't see it. So the hands also will take support, or it'll be a good front. And you see the belly now is touching the thigh. And the two legs are opened. For a man now, when he comes to sajda, they say the more he closes his legs together, the better. The two knees, the closer they are together, so if you close it up, then you will find that automatically, you will have to go front. Now the sunnat sajda will be correct. Otherwise, the sajda, which is the closest posture, the closest you can get to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, is not in tawaf and at the roda. It is in sajda. There's an aqrab, ma yakunul abd, that a slave is towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, is in sajda. That has to be correct. Allah wants to see you doing it like how his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did it. So in this way now a person will go down. So as much as we can keep the knees, not too much together, because the person becomes imbalanced thereafter, but comfortable enough that the knees are close to one another. Then the person will push himself a bit forward. And he will, first the nose, then the forehead, and then the hands in between. And when the hands in between also, now that it's closed over here, like how we made takbir at tahrima, we didn't make it like this. So it shouldn't be in sajda also that we're closing our faces. Because when it comes to sajda, you must, your focus and your eyes must be on the tip of your nose. You don't close the eyes. On the tip of the nose. If you close your face and it's dark, you can't see anything after that. So you leave it naturally apart, like how you made it takbir. So you got the space over there and your hands. And very, very important is the feet are grounded. All the toes are facing towards the qibla. Not all, but the toes are facing. Shouldn't be the toes are left like this. It's not sunnah. Or the toes are like this. That too is not sunnah. But the toes are facing towards the qibla. Like how you stood up also, the toes are facing towards the qibla. In sajda also, the toes are facing towards the qibla. There also both the feet. The feet are, if one foot is lifted off the ground, the salah will break. So here we should be very, very careful when it comes to sajda. The foot has to be on the ground. And ulama say, be careful also when we are coming out from sajda, try not to lift the feet up. Sometimes both the feet lift up. So be careful there also that the feet are not, just drag your foot together when you're sitting for tashahud. So it shouldn't be. What happens now when they're getting up for the second rakah, they lift up the feet completely and then they get up. Or they scratch their feet sometime. You can hear the person in front of you. Salah is broken. The whole duration of the sajda is one foot was off the ground, is salah, is invalid. Also to make sure the clothing is correct, the awra sitar doesn't open up. So the clothes has to be correct. So the foot now, both the feet are grounded. Whether to put them together or keep them separate, there are two views. Our Shaykh al-Hadith is of the view that you join both the heels in sajda. Other ulama, other muftiyan, they say you can leave it as your feet were in the qiyam. Then like this you can leave it also in your sajda, a little bit apart, or you can close it up. And when you sit down in jalsa between the two sajdas, that sitting posture and at-tahiyyat are both the same. How you sit over there. Kitab is very, very clear. Nasaba, the word used in nasaba, rijlahul yumna. That he will ground, he will erect his right foot completely. Nasaba means to erect it completely. Not like this or like that. But it's absolutely straight. We haven't done it, try it now, you see your foot will pain. Because we're not used to it. It has to be absolutely straight. And we know when it comes to our dunya, we want it straight. Tell the boy, pack the shelf, I want it straight. Allah say, I want it straight also. Do the work straight. So salah has to be straight, then my life will be straight. So these little things add up to our life. Our life will become straight. So the right leg has to be absolutely straight. What degree you call it? 90 degree. 90 degree. There we know 90 degree has to be there. Even if you're doing some carpentry and it's off by 1 degree, we know the problem of that. To redo the entire thing, strip the entire kitchen is off. Measurements are not right. So the angle has to be correct till the minutest details. Salah also, Allah wants it. At least try. Allah will see us trying it. So 90 degree. And the left foot you sit on it. The left foot you sit on it. And some kitab say that the toes of the left foot touch the right foot. Also facing towards the qibla. In that manner. So not that you're sitting, what do you say, very lazily. that your legs are opened up and you're just sitting anyhow. The way you must sit right now in At-Tahiyyat, they say, as if you are waiting for Allah to give the command of khidmat. Ya Allah, I'm ready. I'm ready, like how it passes before his ustaz. Ustaz wants something, I'm ready for khidmat. So when you sit before Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, ya Allah, I'm ready, tell me what to do. I'm ready to run for you. This is how you sit in tashahud also. So in jalsa, between two sajdas, dua de, Allahumma ghafirli, warhamni, wa'afini, wahdini, warzuqni. Some riwayat have there, wajburni. This is one place in salah now, you're making dua for your rozi also. People might think the dua is long, but now there's some dunya benefit there also in salah. Allahumma ghafirli, warhamni, Allah forgive me, have mercy upon me, wa'afini, keep me safe, secure. Wahdini, give me hidayat, warzuqni, Allah give me rozi also. This dua you're reading in namaz. Then you can add wajburni also. So there also when you come in jalsa, make sure that we are sitting motionless. So that we just come up and we're moving back down again. But we are motionless. It happens people come up from sajda in this manner, my dear. They will come up and they sit like this. They just go back like that and back down again. So he didn't even stop. He just came up and he moved back into sajda. So that posture was not established of jalsa. Because he missed the wajib, it's minan. So ulama will say you have to make sajda sahu because your body was at a standstill. So you have to stop over there. Read the dua. Then go back down and your sitting too must be correct. Toes facing towards the qibla, 90 degree, and the left foot is sitting on it, toes also touching the foot as far as possible. If a person has some excuse, has some injury, Allah Ta'ala save us now. The injuries are so common right now. Right where the boys are nearly every second day in the battlefield. What battle is called? Battle of the AstroTurf. Not the Battle of Badr. Sahaba Ikram, they got injured in Badr, so they couldn't sit properly. Now it's the Battle of the AstroTurfs. Now they become chairmen also, unfortunately. So if you really go into the masala, I don't know even go into it. If that is going to cause injuries where salah now is being tampered with, then we can say that those sports are not permissible also. They are not sports that are making you fit for salah. Yusuf Ali Salat wasalam's brothers asked the father, Arasilu ma'ana. Send him with us. Ghadan, tomorrow morning, yarta' wa yal'ab. We'll have a picnic. We'll have a meal together. Wa yal'ab and we'll play. And we'll, word in Quran comes, wa yal'ab and we'll play together. And we'll take care of him also. The Talib Rahmatullah in his tafsir, Bayan al-Quran says, that the brothers asked the father, they want to go for a picnic. If picnics weren't allowed, he wouldn't send them. So Sharia compliant, segregation and properly, no problem. Can take their family out when it's quiet. وَيَلْعَبْ and we'll play. So he says, it's mustahab to do some type of exercise that will enable you and enhance your strength for ibadat. It's mustahab. To do that type of exercise that will make you fit enough, that I'm fresh, I'm fit to perform my salah, and to do my dini activities. From this ayat we deduce this. Any other type of exercise or sports that's detrimental to salah will be impermissible. Because it's tempering with how you should be performing your salah. So the boys can't say now that this, we're doing this now to keep fit for salah, but your ligaments are gone. And different tissues and sinews and the rest of it, they can't perform salah anymore. They've got problems. So some type of exercises and sports that will enhance it, that's absolutely fine, that's not a problem. So that's now our jalsa. So we got dua there, we go back into sajda. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, ati tasbihat, minimum. When we're coming back up now, to the second rakat, over here also, how to come up. So from the sajda posture, then a person will come up. First he will lift the forehead, then the nose, then the hands, place it on his thighs. Thighs extend now from the tips of the knees. So on his thighs, and he will not pause over here. There's no bouncing here also. Is there a posture that? So as he will come up, the riwayat says, Ala suduri qadamihi, the front part of his feet, he will come up upon that, to push himself up, as straight as possible. Not in this way also, coming up like making a ruku, but as straight as possible he will come up, and not pushing himself with his hands. Shafi'i, Mazhab, etc., they push themselves up from the ground. We now come upon the front parts of our feet, and we roll up, so to say. Person comes up, making Allahu Akbar, that is the correct manner. The person is sitting down also, second rakat, coming with third rakat, there also it's not necessary not to put your hand on the ground first. From tashahud, from there he will come up. That is not necessary to go front, put your hands over there, then come up like that. So as it's a whole exercise of muhabbat and love making with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it. Then we're sitting with the tashahud. Where you gaze now, where you put your eyes on your lap. Not on your hands, not on the carpet, not in front. On your lap, your eyes on your lap. There you will read your attahiyatu. We explained the other night also attahiyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. Now stop there, stop there. Then assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you want to continue attahiyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibatu assalamu alayka. You can join it. If you stop, is that wa tayyibatu assalamu alayka. Wa tayyibat assalamu. Oh, wa tayyibatu assalamu alayka. You can join it. Ashhadu Allah, ashhadu, you lift your finger. With these two, you make a ring. With your middle finger and the thumb. You make your ring first, and these two fingers over here will be tucked in. You don't make a ring with all three. It's only with these two over here. These other two will be tucked in. Then you raise the finger, ashhadu Allah, ilaha, and the finger towards the qibla, not towards the sky. And that is flimsy also, but you will face it towards the qibla. You're connecting towards the Kaaba Sharif. So ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And leave it a bit suspended, not flat down, but suspended. The hands, how you'll place it also, when it comes to a ta'iyat posture, is the fingers will just overlap the knees. There are two riwayats. One is a riwayat and narration of Muslim Sharif Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with his left hand, made a morsel, a luqma, of his left knee, meaning now he cupped it. There's one riwayat. It's one narration. Other narrations, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam placed his hands upon his thighs. So, to corroborate and to join all the narrations, we say that the palms will be upon your thighs. And your fingers just overlap your knee. Not flat down also, but just overlap the knee a bit. But the direction of all the fingers more or less is towards the qibla. So the hand will not be left on the thigh only. But it will be the palm on the thigh and the fingers just overlapping the kneecap more or less. So the direction is towards the qibla. In this way you will sit. And you read your ta'iyat. Then durud Ibrahim. Allahumma salli with the sad. Allahumma. Allahumma is full mouth also. Allahumma. To make sure we get the tajweed correct. Allahumma. Even a Rabbana, the ra is full mouth. You don't say Rabbana. Rabbana. Allahumma. Rabbana. Salli with the sad. The word salla with the seen is actually used to unsheath a sword. So we change the sword to a seen, it changes the meaning also. Allah unsheath the sword against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allah send your special mercies upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we read out Durood Ibrahim. After Durood Ibrahim, then the dua at the end, the sunnah dua, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنِّكَ وَرْحَمْنِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. This is sunnah dua. What we learned that time in Maktab, Zaruri Muslimin, Allahumma اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِيُسَاذِيَّ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. This is not a sunnah dua. Although we learned it that time, because we look at the translation also, Allahumma اغْفِرْ لِي, Allah forgive me, وَلِوَالِدَيَّ, forgive my parents, وَلِيُسَاذِيَّ. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam making dua for his ustaz. His ustaz was Jibreel Amin. He had no sins. So, said a sunnah dua. Allah, forgive my ustaz, Jibreel Amin. He has no gunas. Well, this dua is not sunnah. So we learn the sunnah dua. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi. This dua, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. They read this dua at the end of your salah. Any shortcomings in your salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover it up and give you the reward of a complete salah. There was a more beautiful part of Salah also. At the end of Salah, before this dua, is Durood Ibrahim. And ulama explain in any amal where there will be Durood Sharif, mustajabatun qattu. That amal of Durood Sharif is guaranteed acceptance. Guaranteed acceptance. So Allah put Durood Sharif at the end. That's the barakat of Durood Sharif with the name of Nabi Ali is taken. The whole amal is accepted. It'll pull that amal into the court of acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Durood Ibrahim, and then we have this dua at the end. Now when it comes to salam, how to make the correct salam according to sunnah, the salam will start from the front. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. We begin to end there. Assalamu alaykum. When you come to the kum, more or less, then you already go to the right hand side. Not that you turn the head completely. Assalamu alaykum. Or from here, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. It's not correct. From here you will start. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. How much you turn the head also? Nabi alayhi salatu salam is mentioned in riwayah that when he used to make salam to the right and the left, Sahaba ikram would say that you were able to see the whiteness of the cheek of Nabi alayhi salatu salam from behind. It was not like this. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. It's not correct. For the Hanafi mazhab, you move the head completely to the right. But sometimes you'll have to make your back a bit straight now to get it correct. Otherwise you'll be tucking your head in. So you pick up your head completely. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. You feel the strain in your neck, you're not used to it. So you'll move the head completely. So any person behind you can see the whiteness of your cheek. Finish the salam over there, then you bring your head back to the qibla. And then you start the second salam from there. Salam also, assalamu alaykum. Assalamu alaykum. Assalamu, there's alif before it, hamza. So from here again, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. When you finish now, then you bring the adab and the etiquette of salam will be now, that you bring your head back to the qibla. Not that you stop it there and you look back who came late. But you bring because you're talking to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So now you don't just abandon that posture of salah, you bring your head back to the front. And here also, we don't do it in such a funny way that a person now moves his head up and down. It's very simple. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You don't have to do this. You just bring it back to the front again. And from there start again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That's sufficient. For the Imam Sahib also, the first salam should be louder than the second salam. So even the person coming late can gauge from the voice of the Imam whether it's the first salam or the second salam. And we don't pull it too long also. Assalamu alaykum. Assalamu. People finish the salam already before the imam. The mass isn't finished. Salam is straightforward. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Don't pull it too long. And the second salam also, then the salah is done. The sunnah after first salah, three times istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. This is in the sunnah. And dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very simple after far salah. Was quick. There was no delaying. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dal jalali wal ikram. There's no wa ta'alayta. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dal jalali wal ikram. La ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika la. Lahul mulk wa lahul hamdu ala kulli shayin qadir. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا رد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد إنك على كل شيء قدير. That's it. When I asked my ustaz also any durood sharif, they say in the riwayah there's no mention of durood sharif also. Straightforward, four or five duas there are and we start our sunnah thereafter. So basically now this is the entire namaz inshallah. Does it have any questions or anything we missed? Would you like to ask an MJ? Very important. Every posture with the imam. Every posture with the imam as far as possible. We don't delay behind the imam. Especially the Hanafis, Shafi'is is a bit different now. Well, the Hanafis will find the Shafi'is, he's still reading his qirat, he has to read Surah Fatiha after the imam. Imam goes into ruku, he's still finishing his qirat. Their salah is a bit different. Ours, imam moves, you gotta move with him. You gotta move with him. So, especially in salam now, because the masala comes if you have a musrakat. And by mistake you made salam with the imam. What do I do? So there are a few scenarios. The correct thing now is to make salam with the imam. When you say salam with the imam, it means before the imam can reach the meme of as-salamu, before he reaches the meme, as-salamu, you start your salam already with him. Not after he makes assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, then you start. Now you're late. But before he can reach the meme of as-salamu, you already start your salam, you are with the imam. If you made a salam like this with the imam, and then you realize you got a musrakat, then you will stand up and you know sajda sahu. But if you made salam after the imam, like how is a norm right now, that the imam said, assalamu alaykum, and then you started your salam. So that will mean you made your salam after the imam, and then you realize, for example, that you got a musrakat, and now you stand up, but you have to, then you will make sajda sahu. So the salam has to be with the imam, and all the postures also. You move with the imam sahab. At-tahiyyat is different now. We're reading at-tahiyyat, and imam sahab stood up for the third rakat. Then you finish your tahiyyah. Then you stand up and then you join him. At the end of salah, you're still making your dua and he made salam, you stop your dua. And you will make salam with the imam sir. That is the correct way. The Takbirah Tahrimah also, as we mentioned, your Allahu Akbar is with his Allahu Akbar. Not before him, but with him. Just after he finishes his Allah, you start your Allah. And this is the correct way. Fingers in sajda, very important. Fingers in sajda. This our Shaykh al-Hadith will say, this major portion of the ummah, don't do it according to sunnah. This sunnah is like dead sunnah now. Where in sajda, we mentioned that the hands will be in line with the earlobes. And all the fingers closed. This is the only posture in salah where the fingers are absolutely closed together. Dhammul asabi, so dhamm, where you join it together. Where the fingers are closed, not left open, not naturally apart. Even the thumbs also, all the fingers facing towards the qibla. So there we found many people are lax in this now. But this one sunnah we are leaving out. And Shaykh Sahib would explain. But we say, inshallah, it's one sunnah. It's one sunnah. So when we are having our lunch, dal chawal, Friday, the papar kacha. Where's the papar? Where's the mango achar? It's not even mustahab or sunnat. But we can't do without it. We don't talk about the coke now. Like this farz ayn. That now not on the walima table. Some people carry their own coke and they bring it too. But salah, okay, sunnah, we're just missing it. Not serious. That was serious. We'll speak after that. Hey, there was no coke on the table. They brought only juices and kuwi. We actually we felt now, how come they didn't have it? But salah, we should feel it. So many years I'm missing the sunnah. So I'm missing something in my namaz. Is that right? So this should be particular. Become conscious now how my sajda is. Closing it. Tying my, many people still in salah. They're still standing like this. You'll find. We hear the whole muzakara. Comes the whole time, asar time. We're back to normal again. Standing like that. Casually on one leg. Standing. Standing before the creator of the world right now. He wants you to stand in a certain way. So you've got to stand like that. Unfortunately now, we become such actors, we know how to stand for the selfies and everything now. How to pose, which angle, etc. Now pose for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, how He wants us to pose for Him. Correctly. Then we see all these extra things will come out from our lives. So the fingers also have to be closed in sajda. Any other questions? So if you come now behind the imam for Zuhur and Asr, whether you read your thana or not, you miss the takbir, but you can gauge now, I just got it after takbir, he must be still reading his thana, then I can read my thana. But if you can understand and gauge now, he already started his qiraat surah Fatiha, Zuhur and Asr, then you won't read your thana. Maghrib, Isha and Fajr, you can hear his qiraat already. So you joined up now, he started surah Fatiha, then you can't start your thana. And on Saturday, you can read your thana. When it comes to catching the rakat, the imam sahib is in ruku, and you rush to get the rakat. As long as you got him for a split second, in a posture that is closer to ruku, you got the ruku. So you got a gauge now, whether you can see the imam, he's still there and you made it. Has to be two takbirs, very important. Not one takbir, two takbir. Allahu Akbar is the first one to start the namaz. Then the second takbir to go into ruku. So I got my second takbir into my ruku, and as I was going down, I saw him or could hear him, he was still in ruku, I got it. So I got the rakat. But if he was already halfway up or more to the standing posture, then he's out of ruku. Now I can't quickly go into ruku and say, I got him, I missed it. If you're in doubt, you really feel I didn't get it, better you repeat the rakat and be safe, inshallah. So when you say Allahu Akbar also, for it is a split second, one tasbih, you will be motionless. Not you say Allahu Akbar and you're moving one way. But you've got to stop there. Whether you tie your hands or don't tie it, it's fine. You don't have to tie the hands also. Because tying the hands is sunnat of qirat. If qirat is on, then you tie the hands. There's no qirat right now. So you can leave the hands down as Allahu Akbar, then Allahu Akbar. Turning to ruku after that. Between the two sajdas. Don't know the dua, then you should learn it, inshallah. You should learn it. Is that farz? It's mustahab to recite it. But as our Shaykh al-Hadith says now, that he mentioned his duas in many majalis. And people who say his dua is very long. But he says in this dua, in salah, you're getting a chance to make dua for your dunya, or zuqni. the old man said, hey, this is very valuable dua now. So Wana says, yes, you can learn it. If you know your bank account numbers, how many bank accounts you have. And he said, many old people now leave their bank account numbers, they still remember the GST number. And they had the codes, Q, Y, Z, what's the kharid, what's the cost. For all that they still remember. But dua, Mawlana Sahib, dua is too long. But what you got shock and desire for, we learn that. Passwords, usernames, we know it. Because so many different accounts. So we can learn the dua, inshallah. But doesn't mean if you don't know it and we don't read it, salah will not be correct. You won't get the full enhancement of salah, will not be there. See? If you're reading nafil salah, like after witr, two rakats salah, sitting down. So they will tie their hands also below the navel. And to go into ruku, whilst we are sitting, so there the head has to come in line with the knees. That's sufficient for the ruku. So you just go this way, so the head is in line. That's it. Not right down this way. So you just come to this and you are at a standstill. You're making your ruku, come back up, then you go to your sajda. No, no. Not necessarily. You don't pick up your posterior. Jay? You look straight down. Like how you make your normal ruku between your feet, so you look there straight down. Jay? Making? Intention is in the heart. Intention for salah is in the heart. Verbal intention, according to Allama Shami rahmatullahi alayhi, to make a verbal intention and make it a habit is bid'ah. We learn this in madrasa now. That you make intention, I'm standing behind the imam, reading four rakats, faraz of zuhur, facing the qibla behind the imam for your pleasure. This is an exercise that we learned. But to continue, make dua with the tongue, Allama regard this as a bid'ah, this is not a sunnah. The intention is in the heart. You might say, now I'm reading for salah, but you're reading sunnah. You made a mistake. So you consider the niyat of the heart. That's what the tongue said. So the niyat is in the heart, that is sufficient. You're reading for salah, I'm reading salah behind the imam sahab. That is sufficient, facing the qibla, it's all in the heart, four rakats first, that is sufficient. It doesn't have to be verbal. Jay? Must? Can you? With the musrakat. When you stand up with the musrakat, yes, you recite your thana. Whatever musrakat you have, so when you stand up with the musrakat, you regard that musrakat as the first rakat of your namaz. So what you should normally do in the first rakat, now you do the same thing in this musrakat. Your thana, a'uzu, bismillah, surah fatiha, and surah. You must two rakats, then how you do original two rakats, is how you do it now also in the musrakats. It's fine there. No, necessarily. Already, when you leave home already, you have the niyat for Zuhr namaz. That's sufficient. You got the niyat already. But yes, they say to make it firm, when you're standing, this just to renew the intention. But you already have it before that in your mind. That's sufficient. That. That's okay. If you join in the fourth rakat, no, if you join in the fourth rakat, you got the fourth rakat. So that's counted as the fourth rakat, not the first rakat. That is your fourth rakat. So when you stand up now that's your first rakat. Alright, so you sat over there, so this will be your first rakat, whatever you do in the first rakat. But obviously now is the second rakat of your namaz. So you sit over there now. You sit there now. In Maghrib, then you sit basically in all the rakats then. All the rakats will be sitting. Because you sat in the third rakat, then you stood up there, read your thana, a'uzu bismillah, surah fatiha, surah. Right? So this will be your second rakat in reality. So you sit there, then you stood up for the third rakat. So they also surah fatiha and surah, which is actually your second rakat now, which you're reading on your own. Then you sit again over there. So three times you will sit in the Maghrib Salah. See? Jee. When you're standing in Salah, as far as possible, Umar radiallahu anhu, somebody came to Masjid al-Nabi reading Salah, in a very humble manner, like this. He gave him a shot. He said, stand up straight. Humility is in the heart. Humility is in the heart. So a person should stand as straight as possible. Sometimes some people's natural postures, when they're standing also, is just like that. But to make it extra now in namaz, this is not correct. He says humility is in the heart. So you stand up as straight as you can, properly, but your head is focused, your eyes are focused on the place of sajda. That's the correct way. Yeah. If this happens not often, doesn't happen often now, and you forget the rakat, so the maslah, you must start that namaz again. Restart the salah. But it happens often now where you forget the rakats. You get confused sometime. You're uncertain. Happens now, every week, now and then, you just mind slips. Then you will take it to be the lower number. You're not sure it's the third rakat or the fourth rakat. So you take it to be my third rakat. Then you'll sit. You will sit after that because it's possibly it is your fourth rakat. Can, because you're confused between third and fourth. So you'll take the lower number. Then you sit almost after every rakat, because it could be between one and two, then you take it to be your first rakat. But it can be your second rakat. So after second rakat, you sit down usually. So here also you will sit down. So you take the lower number, and every time you will gauge now, this could be my second rakat, or could be my fourth rakat, so you sit over there. That's how you will do it. But obviously now, you got a mus rakat, and you just slip now, I don't know, that mus two rakats or one rakat. But in some way now that you can gauge, somebody next to you also missed with you. So from his now namaz you can gauge, okay, he's reading two, so I missed two then. Then you got some backup, that's fine. But if you're totally bewildered, I don't know which rakat it is completely, and it's become, is that my habit, then you start the namaz afresh. What do you mean, stop? For when this is? Second rakat. Oh, this after the second sajda. And the first rakat. First rakat. This is called Jalsa Istiraha. Jalsa Istiraha, where the Shafi'i is now in the first rakat and third rakat. After they come up from the second sajda, they sit first. Then they get up. This is called Jalsatun Istiraha. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam used to take this break in between towards the end of his life because his body got very heavy. So it was a bit weighty upon him. Therefore he used to sit after the second sajda. So we don't regard this as a sunnah. Unless a person is ma'azur completely, he can't handle it, they will allow you to sit down and then to get up thereafter. But for us it's not sunnah. We get up immediately. We don't take that break. No, must be before that. So the person like wudu broke during the salah, and he went to make wudu again. So when he joins the imam sahab, he'll join him that fourth rakat. Whatever he missed, he will cover it up now. Although he got the first rakat, but all that now will be abandoned. You came in the fourth rakat, it means that you came now only. Although there are masail in kitab, the lahiq, it's called the lahiq. Where the wuzu will break, and you come back, you join the imam, still in salah. If you're still in salah, then you'll cover up behind the imam and catch up with him. That masla was the original masla in the kitabs. But there's many preconditions to it. That when you go to make wudu, make sure you don't speak to anybody. Your aura doesn't open up. You go to the nearest water supply. So there's many conditions for that, what you call it, bina. To build upon the original namaz, there are many conditions which people can't fulfill. It's too difficult for them nowadays. So therefore we say, you just abandon now what you read initially and you come join, you join the fourth rakat like you started from there. And you continue from there. See. Mm. 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 If you are in your own salah, if you're behind the imam's up now, 4 rakat namaz or 3 rakat maghrib, and in the first qaida, first tashahud, you went beyond that, you are still safe because you are behind the imam. So you will make sajda sahu. But in your own namaz now, 4 rakat sunnah you are reading, or your 3 witr you are reading, so in the first qaida, after ta'iyat, you forgot to stand up. And you read Durood e Ibrahim. So, will you make sajda sahu or not? So if you read Allahumma, you're still safe. You can stand up. Allahumma salli, you're still safe. Allahumma salli ala, you are still safe. You can get up quickly. No sajda sahu. Once you complete the sentence, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, that is a complete sentence. Now you realize, from that point or thereafter, then you must still stand up. Complete your salah and you make sajda sahu. Because you delayed the standing up posture and you completed the sentence. So in that case you make sajda sahu. Right. Yes. If you didn't read a surah in the 3rd rakat or 4th rakat, so 3rd rakat and 4th rakat, to read the sunnah is wajib in the witr salah and sunnat namazes. So in all 4 rakats, there has to be surah Fatiha and a surah. So if you miss the surah, then you have to make sajda sahu. If you didn't make sajda sahu, then you have to repeat the sunnah within the time. If it wasn't done within the time, then the salah is valid after that. But it has to be all 4 rakats. Unlike the first salah now. First salah only 2 rakats. Qiraat is farz. In the second 2 rakats, we only read surah Fatiha, which is sunnah. To read surah Fatiha in the 3rd and 4th rakat. Any other questions? What mistakes will require sajda sahu? Now, it's quite a long discussion. We have the wajibat in namaz, wajibat, those things that are wajib, and fara'is. So, fara'is, some fara'is and the wajibats, if you delay the farz or the wajib, you delay it from the original position, you delay it. Alright? Like how Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So you delay standing up for the 3rd rakat, which is wajib. You delay that for this amount of time. So you delay a wajib, you omit a wajib, you repeat a wajib. So just sahu becomes wajib. So you got to know the wajibat basically. What are the wajibats in namaz? If you delay the wajib, or you repeat it, or you omit it. So you delayed, you repeated, or you omitted completely, so you have to make sajda sahu. So basically you got to know your wajibat and your fara'is. Fara'is sometimes also is delayed. You made one sajda only. So you got to make that other one. In the 2nd rakat, you came to mind, I only made one sajda in the 1st rakat. So immediately you got to fall down. I make that one over there now. So that got delayed from the original position. So sajda sahu will become wajib. But obviously now if you didn't make it, the salah is void. I have to repeat it. Wajib now, if you omitted a wajib, you have to make sajda sahu. Omitted a farz, then there is no sajda sahu, you will have to make that farz. Wajib now, you miss the sajda sahu. You miss the wajib, like happens in commonly every day in your witr namaz. You forgot dua qunut. Also raising the hands, one point over here. When we raise our hands also, we don't drop it down. Like Eid namaz. Even for our salatul witr also, when we raise the hands from here, we tie it immediately, we don't drop it down. So if you missed your dua qunut, which is wajib, you missed dua qunut, which is wajib. Now understand, the takbir, Allahu Akbar, that is wajib. For dua qunut. To raise the hands is sunnat. To raise the hands is sunnat. To say Allahu Akbar is wajib. To recite a dua. To recite a dua of qunut is wajib. That's what I'm saying now. To recite any dua is wajib. To recite the dua that we read as Hanafis is sunnat. Following. If I read some dua there, I fulfill the wajib act of dua. Obviously to fulfill the wajib 100% correctly, then we learn this dua. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Allahumma inna nasta'inuka wa nastaghfir. So, if I missed that wajib, dua qunut, I went into ruku already, then I realized, now it's too late. So I got to make sajda sahu. Then it's covered up. If I didn't make sajda sahu, then I have to repeat that salah. So some ulama say now, if a salah is wajibul i'ada, if the salah has to be repeated, whether you do something in the farz salah, or the sunnat salah, or the witr salah, so the salah has to be repeated more, the farz salah now. So there's some ulama say you have to repeat that salah within the namaz time. After the namaz time expires, they say you missed the wajib and you didn't make sajda sahu, the salah is correct. It's done. Some ulama say no, you still have to repeat it. So there's a difference of opinion. Repeat or don't repeat. So usually how they corroborate these views is if you are sahib at-tartib, you don't have any missed namazes in your life, you covered up everything, or you never had. Now this happened in one of the namazes, and you didn't repeat that salah, and the time expired. Well, they say it's better you repeat it, because you don't have any qaza. So better you repeat it. If you have many qaza already, the time expired, we say take it to be the namaz is done. Don't add it on. You got enough already. So they got the salah to be done. As far as possible, if you are confident now that you get the imam in ruku, dua e qunut is still on. You said reading yours and he went into ruku, and you got confidence that I can finish it and catch him, then you finish it. But you still got a lot to read. Then you abandon it and you join him in the ruku. Anything else, please? No, if you have qaza namaz, then you can't leave out the sunnah. Sunnah the muqaddah, you have to read it. And make time for your qaza namazes, inshallah. Making wudu upon wudu, to make a fresh wudu, although you have a wudu, the masala is now if you made wudu, say example, you made 10 o'clock in the morning, wudu, and you didn't use the wudu for anything which require wudu to be made. Example, you didn't read salah, you didn't make a sajda tilawat, you just made wudu before you went to work. And now came zuhur time. So that wudu hasn't been made, hasn't been used as yet. Now to make a fresh wudu is makruh. You're wasting water. Because you already have wudu. So it'll be permissible and commendable to make a fresh wudu, although you have wudu, when you use that wudu before that. Example, you read your zuhur salah, finished now with that wudu. Now came asar time, and you still have that wudu. But you use that already for zuhur, so you can make another wudu now. Not a problem. Understand? So the wudu has to be used for something that requires wudu to be made. Otherwise, it is be wastage of water after that. Yeah, it won't be the same because you already have a wuzu now. Well, the best is not to do two rakats, use it. Then you can. But at the same time, remember, the other masail also, where they say, the person now, if he laughed aloud, or he made some ghibat, or he did some minor sin, then it's commendable to make wuzu after that. It's a long span of time, the morning time now. Right? A lot of things happen in the morning. It's better to make that fresh wuzu for Zuhr Salah. That'll be better, inshallah. Any more queries, inshallah, we can send it to the fatwa department, inshallah. The last one, inshallah. If you haven't memorized why you qunut, then you can read Rabbana Atina fi dunya. Right? Or you can say, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. Or you say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. That too is sufficient just for that dua that was. No problem, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد